Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The pride of a historic neighborhood lies in its people, its culture, and its buildings. What if those buildings are old, abandoned, or blighted? Residents of San Antonio's historic West Side are mostly Mexican-American and low-income. They've struggled for years to save homes, stores, dance halls, and restaurants from the wrecking ball and from developers who believe the area is ripe for urban renewal. The city's oldest public housing complex, the Alazan Apache Courts, is considered one of the nation's most endangered historic places and is also targeted for demolition. The culture of a community often develops inside these spaces. Today on Fronteras, we examine the efforts to preserve what's left of West Side San Antonio's history. We welcome back Graciela Sanchez, the director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, a grassroots community-based cultural organization committed to preserving San Antonio's unique cultural heritage. Also joining us today is Dr. Antonia Castañeda, Professor of History Emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. I ask Sanchez about some of the successes and defeats that the West Side has endured over the decades.
It's a powerful question, and it just hit me a little emotionally because in the 1970s, I was a 10-year-old, getting close to my teen years, and my whole neighborhood got torn down. Homes just south of Guadalupe, and it just tore a whole community apart. People I had grown up with, who I had played with, who I had gone to church with, all my friends disappeared because there was a new urban renewal policy that was created from Washington, D.C., because we were living in densified neighborhoods where there were too many of us living together and we needed to de-densify. So that was an experiment, urban renewal of the 1970s in San Antonio, to de-densify the neighborhoods because the urban planners knew that that was the best thing to do. Somebody told us that they knew better what was good for the community. So they tore it all down and they didn't really ask us what we wanted. They told us. And they pushed a policy that really hurt a community. And they tore down our orange trees and our fig trees. And they got rid of the curanderas and the hueseras. All our healers disappeared. And this was all to fix up the neighborhood. And now, 50 years later, they're like, oh, now we need to densify the neighborhood. There are not enough people, so we're tearing down homes again so that way we can build 4- and 5-story apartment complexes in this community that, you know, has these shotgun homes, these small, modest homes. But again, somebody knows better and is telling us that they have to tear down the historic fabric of the built environment because now we have to be densified again. So for Esperanza and the Westside Preservation Alliance and the Historic Westside Residents Association, community folks have said, stop. We have the ability to say to you all what we need and want for our community, and you can't tell us. But we continue to demand changes in the policies that the city is imposing on us and developers are imposing on us, and especially developers are imposing on our communities because for them, their bottom line is making money. And for us, it's about saving and conserving and honoring our communities. You know, we don't see eye to eye and we're struggling. And sadly, we seem to lose a lot of those struggles. I don't know, Antonio, you want to add to that?
Well, it's part of the continuous thread of this history of disregard for the people of the West Side. And so in an earlier period, the city officialdom ignored and purposefully neglected the infrastructure of the West Side. What do those Mexicans need sidewalks for or sewage? They're used to that squalor, so let them live in squalor. Well, 70, 80 years later, the policies that disregard it, still somebody else knows better what's good for us than we do. So for me, it's a continuation, just in a different suit, in a different color. But it's the same set of issues in which policies are made without regard for what this community says that it knows that it wants and knows based on its own history and its own struggles and its own realities. And so I am always distressed when I hear officialdom touting how San Antonio is so quote-unquote diverse and how San Antonio is so concerned with historic preservation. No, it's not. No, it's not. And the history bears that out.
Graciela, I know that the Esperanza has really stepped forward to try to save a lot of the structures in the neighborhood. Usually when people think of historic preservation, you know, they're thinking of Mount Vernon or maybe like a plantation home in the South or even, you know, Abe Lincoln's home. And a lot of people might think, why do you want to save that house that's falling apart, or that dance hall has been vacant and it's falling apart? Why do you want to save that? Don't you want a sparkling new car wash or, you know, mechanic shop there instead that can serve a higher purpose in your community? What do you say to people who present that argument?
Well, we've been arguing to save the history, the tangible and intangible history of the West Side. The little casitas that are, again, small and modest, tell of a history of working class and working poor people of San Antonio. They had to live in those homes because that's what they could afford. But we also have, like, the building La Gloria that was torn down in 2002. And you had San Antonio Cultural Arts Center that wanted to save it for their future home. But, you know, the owner wanted to build an auto parts store, and that's what you have there now. And yet we erased a structure that was 80 years old. And it was amazing how hundreds of people from the community came to try to save that building and held hands and held 24-hour vigils for many weeks and raised money to try to preserve it. But, you know, again, the powerful just couldn't imagine to see how it could be restored because it was in the West Side. I mean, this doesn't happen to the King William neighborhood or the Monte Vista neighborhood. Those homes are also 100 years old or more, but they're two-story and they're middle-class and upper-class housing that somehow is deemed more important to preserve. And so we've struggled to say our homes, our institutions, our structures are also important. And then one of the successes was the Casa Maldonado that in 2008-09 we learned they were going to destroy. Then we were able to meet with Julian Castro, and he saw that there was potential for that building, and he set aside $500,000, and it was preserved. And as soon as it was renovated, it was immediately rented, and the owners have earned income from the rental of that building. That same Casa Maldonado is now the West Side offices for the UTSA downtown headquarters. So, you know, we're really concerned about the Alasan Apache Courts, the first public housing in the city of San Antonio that were built in the 1940s or in 1940, which were designated as one of the 11th most endangered buildings in September of 2020. And there were 60 or 70 people who went before the San Antonio Housing Authority November 5th. And the majority, I would say 90% of the people who spoke in favor of saving the Alasan Courts, for their history, but also because they don't want to see the displacement of people who have roots in the West Side. Sadly, the majority of the board voted to demolish them and then not to replace them with public housing. And we are very concerned that public housing is important because San Antonio is one of the most economically segregated cities. And so we want to preserve public housing, and historic public housing is possible. People say that because it's old, it can't be preserved. But we have an example of the Lathrop housing project in Chicago. And those developers reached out to us to say, hey, we can preserve. We're preserving housing of 1938. They're a couple of years older than Alasan Courts. And if Chicago can figure it out, then San Antonio Housing Authority can also preserve the historic public housing and keep the people in the community.
Antonia, this is something that is, again, not an uncommon story that you hear in communities of color, where you have the poorest of the poor living in public housing and they are displaced. And again, this is a conversation that could probably go on for hours if we were to really delve into it. But Graciela was talking about the Alasan Apache courts, which again are on the verge of being demolished. I mean, this is not something that people can argue, you know, we really like living without air conditioning, or we really love having the walls falling apart. Nobody is against having their living conditions improved. And I'm sure there's some people who live in the Alasan Apache courts who are very much looking forward to perhaps being moved to a new housing complex. But again, there's this balance that public officials and community activists of when do you demolish? What do you replace it with? And how is it going to tear apart a community ultimately?
Yes, indeed. So let me talk briefly about what demolishing the Alasan courts will do. It will displace 500 families, 1,200 individuals. It will remove children from the schools that they've always gone to. It will displace people from the community, whether it's church, whether it's businesses, whether it's families, comadres, compadres. It will tear apart. We have an example of what happened to Wheatley Courts. That community was torn apart. The residents were told that they would have access to the new buildings, which are mixed income. Well, less than 20% of the people who lived in Wheatley Courts were able to come back and or afford the mixed income apartments. And so that is what we are facing with the demolishing of the Alasan. 45,000 San Antonio families are on a waiting list for public housing. And here is Alasan Apache Courts. They're built. They need renovation, absolutely. So let us renovate them. Let us rehab them. Let us not destroy not only a historical structure, but a set of buildings where people live and where lives are led. Something I want to make sure is included in this conversation is that the families that we're talking about in Alasan Apache Courts, the 500 families, 1,200 people, those are women-headed households with children, the most vulnerable among us. The median income is $12,000 per year, and where women earn 79 cents to the dollar that men earn in all occupations.
Dr. Antonia Castañeda is professor of history emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. We're also talking with Graciela Sanchez, director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center and member of the Westside Preservation Alliance. When we come back, historic preservation and gentrification can often result in driving out residents who've lived in their homes for generations.
So we're trying to figure out, as we're trying to preserve the community and the buildings of the West Side, that we also create policies that allow people to remain in the neighborhood.
Our conversation continues on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Esperanza Peace and Justice Center is a grassroots organization in San Antonio dedicated to preserving San Antonio's unique cultural heritage. Preserving that heritage has more often than not been a struggle. The Esperanza has chalked up a few victories, like the saving of the pink building known as Casa Maldonado, which will be the new Westside Community Center for the University of Texas at San Antonio's downtown campus. But the defeats often outweigh the victories. The Esperanza and other Westside San Antonio activists demonstrated unsuccessfully to save the Univision building. It's where Spanish language broadcasting in the U.S. was born. They unsuccessfully fought to save La Gloria, an iconic dance hall. They also lost the battle to save the restaurant known as the Malt House. The city's oldest public housing project, the Alasan Apache Courts, is marked for demolition. Plans for future development often require the bulldozing of history. Today, we're talking to Graciela Sanchez, director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, and Dr. Antonia Castañeda, professor of history emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. Sanchez says preservation efforts in Westside San Antonio and similar communities of color in the U.S. are slowly being recognized. but it's two steps forward and one step back. She worries residents could pay a price for restoration in the form of gentrification.
I believe that we're definitely moving in the direction of restoring and designating the West Side as historic and having community members continue to preserve these amazing casitas in the West Side. We're concerned, however, that as people finally recognize the West Side, that they're all going to want to move in, just like they did on the East Side of San Antonio. And then the original peoples, the people who've been laboring there for years and years, get pushed out because of gentrification. So we're trying to figure out, as we're trying to preserve the community and the buildings of the West Side, that we also create policies that allow people to remain in the neighborhood. So there are conversations and there are policies in other cities in the state of Texas that are maybe considering, you know, limiting the increase of taxes so that people can remain in the community. We have to find those policies. We can see it in East Austin. East Austin is no longer for the Mexican-American community. They've preserved the houses. They've, you know, made them beautiful. But the people who made up the East Side of Austin are gone. And we do not want to see that. We've learned from San Francisco, from Austin, from Chicago, from cities throughout the country where gentrification cleaned up the neighborhood, preserved the neighborhood, and then pushed the people out. So instead of spending $1 million to this developer and another $5 million to another developer, it's like, how do we give money, grants, to community members so that they fix up their foundation, that they fix up their roof, and they stay there, and then again stop the increased value of their homes? We need to create those policies. As we preserve the neighborhood, we also keep the people in that neighborhood. Look at the world, you know, cities like Paris and Madrid, throughout the world, there is housing that is 200 and 300 years old, and somehow people still live there and survive. So if 80-year-old housing is, you can save that. And again, this housing is for people who are physically and mentally disabled, who are elders and who are women. And they're offering suggestions of their new housing that's over in 1604 or Highway 151. Wait a minute, this housing, the Alazana Apache Courts, are essentially downtown. The people walk one or two blocks and catch the bus and they're downtown in 5 minutes. Gets them to their jobs. You know, when you get pushed that to 1604 or 151 or elsewhere, you're having to figure out bus routes that might take 2 hours to get to your job. You know, so we don't want to destroy what is accessible to this community. So if you don't have a car, you're really in trouble. We know that's going to happen with the Alazan courts. The schools are going to close down. The Anditas are going to close down. Health care centers, the diabetes center, all these social networks are around. They could close down. And wherever these folks find themselves, they won't have the accessibility that they had while they were here. So politicians, our elected officials, our appointed officials have to be more compassionate, have to be, they're just pushing a policy that they've been pushing for the last 10, 15 years, and it doesn't work. So stop.
In the 1940s, after World War II, what we see across the United States, including in San Antonio, is suburbanization and a closing off. So instead of where in the downtown areas in the inner city, where people live not only in their homes, but also outside in the front porches for socialization, for coolness, for all kinds of reasons. And with suburbanization, people do not live in front. They live in back. So, okay, that's quite flight from the inner city and from all of those people of color that can't leave because they don't have the funds to move to the suburbs. And now that's a reverse migration of suburbanites as well as empty nesters now wanting to come back or come to the inner city. And these are people with either significant retirement funds or jobs that pay not only a living wage, but that are high-paying professional jobs. So in one case, in the first case, the inner city is left and is neglected, and now the effort is to come back and to take over housing, to have all of the amenities that perhaps they didn't have in the suburbs. But in either case, in terms of city officialdom, the regard for the people living in the inner city, in this case for the Mexican-American community, there was no regard. There was a disregard. And so if we're talking about the city that we want to live in, to pick up on Graciela's term, we want to be a compassionate city. And we want that compassion to extend to the people of the West Side in this case, but also certainly to all of San Antonio.
I want to thank you so much, Antonia Castañeda and Graciela Sanchez. Thanks again for talking with us today.
Thank you, Norma.
Gracias.
Dr. Antonia Castañeda is professor of history emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. We also spoke with Graciela Sanchez, director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center and member of the West Side Preservation Alliance. Regarding the demolition of the Alazan courts, the San Antonio Housing Authority said in a statement the housing units are no longer fit for modern times and standards. Saha also emphasized Alazan residents will not lose their housing assistance. Read the statement from Saha at tpr.org, and we'll be talking to Saha in the coming weeks for a conversation about public housing in San Antonio. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.